Well, when bad things happen, who is there in the aftermath? That's what we're talking about today on Contact. I'm Brittany Madera, and such an important topic this morning. We are going to be hearing from Western PA Cares for Kids, a child advocacy center, talking about some ways that we can help out, and of course, why it is so very important that after kids have gone through trauma, to make sure that the interviews that they do afterwards aren't causing any more trauma and that they're taken care of in a really graceful, caring way. More about that with our friend Pat Berger from Western PA Cares for Kids in just a moment. It's Contact here on Connect, brought to us in part by Lifespan Family Services, Adoption and Foster Care.
Each day in Pennsylvania, there's at least 15,000 children taken from their homes due to abuse or neglect. Foster parents provide homes to these needy children. Lifespan Family Services trains, supports, and compensates foster parents to address this problem. Call Lifespan Family Services today at 375-1314 or drop in at the Du Bois Mall or at Lane Avenue in Punxsutawney. Lifespan Family Services, helping people help children every day. 375-1314.
Well, we're talking this morning with Pat Berger from Western PA Cares for Kids, a child advocacy center, and they do such amazing work. Pat, first of all, I do have to thank you because you've really made some time for us this morning in kind of a chaotic time because I have asked you to come in right before an event that you have planned, haven't I?
Yes.
So thank you for making time. Tell me about this event. This is coming up Saturday, July 17th. So if you are listening to this after the fact, unfortunately, you've missed out on it, or maybe we got to see you there. But Saturday, July 17th at Cook Forest, this is your 12th annual event of this.
Yes, it is.
Tell me a little more about it if we want to get involved. What is this all about?
Okay. Our event is going to be at Shelter 2 on Forest Road in Cook Forest, and we have two timed events and then the community walk for those that don't want to run or bike. So the duathlon part of it will start, let me back up a minute. Registration the day of race can happen at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. At 9 o'clock we start the first event, which is the duathlon. Mm-hmm. That consists of three parts. There is a 3.1 mile run, which is the same as a 5K.
Okay.
Followed by a 12-mile bike, followed by a 2.1-mile run. And people can do that as solo or as a team of two or three.
Oh, okay.
Then at 10 o'clock, we start the 5K, which is the 3.1-mile run. And those runs are in the forest itself. So they're on trails.
Yeah, that's a beautiful location, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Now, of course, if you are maybe a little bit more on my standards of things and you're not, you know that you're not going to be able to do a duathlon, there are still ways of giving back, right? There's a walk.
Yes, the community walk is a two-mile walk. It's a 1 mile out and back. And a lot of families come and just do that part.
Yeah. Now, and it's a beautiful location for it. It's going to be a nice day to, you know, really be able to enjoy Mother Nature. And you can do so and register or find more details at raceentry.com by looking up the 12th annual duathlon 5K and community walk in Cook Forest. But let's talk about where these proceeds go. The cost to register, first of all, is what?
Well, it depends on what event you're participating in. And then whether it's past pre-registration.
Right. If you are a procrastinator like I am, yes, you're going to pay a little bit more. And I do believe there are extra ways that you can give as well. Do we have raffles?
Yes, we have some prizes. And also racers can get sponsors. And if they collect $75 or less, they can pick from the door prize level, and if they get over $75, it puts them in the grand prize level.
Oh, nice.
But the one bringing in the most, we start with them and work our way down.
Ah, I see. And all of this is just a wonderful activity that you can do with your family in the middle of summer. Get back out into nature and really enjoy yourself. But of course, this is done for a good cause as well. All of the proceeds benefit Western PA Cares for Kids Child Advocacy Center. So if you could sum that up, what exactly do you do? Where is this money going?
Okay. That two questions.
Yes.
What does this money do? We're being a nonprofit, and we apply for grants, but they're competitive. So you never know until the cutoff date whether you're going to be awarded that grant.
Right.
The services that we provide to families and children are free to them. So we have to have the building. We have to pay all of the utilities. We have 3 employees, and we have information, brochures, referrals that are made. So there's costs with that we have to cover.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is such a beautiful way of giving back, because not that it isn't important to give back to things that don't necessarily geographically impact you, but this is a very local thing. I mean, these are families within our own communities. These are kids who, you know, who might honestly go to school with your own kids.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what would you say, if you had to sum up Western PA Cares for Kids, what do you do there? What are these families going through?
We are the first step in an investigation. It used to be that before child advocacy centers existed, many times the child had to go to the police station and be interviewed by a police officer or a trooper. And a lot of times that gave them the idea they were in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they had to go to the police. And it affected how much information they gave, whether they gave any information at all or denied that something had happened. And law enforcement aren't necessarily trained in how to talk with children.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the police didn't even know how to get started.
Yeah.
And then they have to provide reports to the district attorney, and you would have reports that said, child said this, whatever. Now, the child is interviewed, and it is watched by all of the people that used to have to interview them separately. And the child only has to tell it once.
Mm-hmm.
It's recorded. And the team of professionals are in another room watching it on a large screen television. And the forensic interviewer, whether it's me or the other girl, Casey, we take a break before we're all done and discuss with the team if there's any other outstanding information that they need us to ask about. The child, though, does tell what happens mm-hmm. in their own words. It's very child friendly. It used to be a residential house for someone.
Oh, you mean the building where you're actually conducting all of this and bringing these kids to? It used to be a home.
Exactly.
Does it still feel
still
like a home?
It still looks like a home.
Oh.
Our waiting room is a living room. And adjacent to that open area is a play area for kids, because many times when children come there, their siblings are with them.
Mm-hmm.
It gives the siblings something to do, plus the child that is being interviewed can play until the team all arrives and we're ready to start the interview.
Wow, what a stark difference that is. And not that we don't appreciate everything that our police officers do, but what a world of difference it must be to have to walk into a very sterile police office where, honestly, these kids would be scared. They would feel
exactly.
as though they're in trouble. And instead of doing all of that at a police station, being able to go to what might feel like, you know, grandma's home. Yeah.
Well, we've actually had some people say that.
Oh, really?
Yes, and we've had kids, even after being interviewed and having a medical evaluation done, mm-hmm. and they're leaving, ask if they can come back.
Really?
Yes.
That they have, I mean, this is a more comfortable way of doing this, but I mean, it's very clear this is still, you know, this is a difficult thing for this child to do, especially if there's a medical evaluation as well. And they're still saying they would like to come back.
Yes.
Wow. What a testament to what a caring location and what a caring staff you have.
Well, one of the kids even asked if he could go home and get his siblings and bring them back because he knew they would like it.
Oh, oh, that is that really warms my heart to know that there is a place that these kids can go and that there are people who truly not just care but are able to ask those really tough questions and get into that in a really gentle way.
Right.
Yeah.
So when the family arrives, our family advocate greets them at the door, and then she takes them into the living room / waiting room and talks to them about the process, has them sign their authorization forms allowing us to do the interview and the medical evaluation, and answers any questions they may have. Then she also provides referrals to them and stays with them, the non-offending guardian, during the whole process so that she can answer questions and...
Right, and be there as a source
for the need of the other siblings.
Sure.
If there are any there that day. But she provides referrals like to therapy, for food, sometimes for housing. Mm-hmm. Depends on the needs of the family.
Right. These problems, I imagine, don't exist in a vacuum, that sometimes there are other problems that go along with it, and maybe an ongoing situation that still needs to be resolved. Wow.
And then the medical evaluation is non-invasive. Mm-hmm. It's a head-to-toe checkup. So our nurses have found undiagnosed problems that the kids had.
In what sense?
Strep throat, kidney infections, ear infections, heart murmurs. And unfortunately, we've had some with sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah. What a caring group of people you have there, because this is a tough job. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine some of the situations that you've seen and that you know about and that you've had firsthand experience dealing with these families in the aftermath. So sincerely, thank you for what you do. Thank you for being there for those families and for those kids. For us as, you know, just average everyday people, what can we be on the lookout for whenever, you know, we're going through our day-to-day life? And I mean, how do we stop these situations from happening in the first place?
Well, first of all, if you see something questionable, report it. I mean, you can actually report anonymously. But if you see changes in your child, changes in their friends, changes in their demeanor, changes in their school, their grades going down, things like that. It's not necessarily pointing to sexual abuse or physical abuse, but there's something going on. It needs to be looked at.
Yeah, so just be aware,
yeah.
I guess.
Know what your kids are doing.
Yeah. Yeah, be aware, know what the kids are doing, and then don't be afraid to speak
out.
Ask
questions.
Yeah.
Ask your kids questions.
Wow. I know for me personally as well, just seeing and hearing these stories in the news and interacting with it in that sense of things where unfortunately you hear these dreadful stories of things that have happened. And I think in all of our minds, we think, how could that happen? Why is it happening here in our community? And then how do I help? This is one of the ways that you can do that is by, first of all, being aware. And second of all, giving generously to places that do this kind of good work. So again, we are with this morning Pat Berger from Western PA Cares for Kids, and talking about the wonderful work they do with those terrible situations. For the average everyday person, I mean, whenever you give, what does that look like on your side of things? Because I know we were talking beforehand, and I said, oh, you know, I said something about your entire staff, and you said, I said, oh, how many people do you have there? And your answer very much surprised me. You have a very small staff there, a dedicated staff and a very caring staff, but it is small.
Yes, we have three people.
Three people, goodness gracious.
But all of them do more than one job.
Yes, yeah.
So we are an accredited center. We became accredited with the National Children's Alliance in 2017. You have to re-accreditate every 5 years, and so we're in the process right now also of filling out our application for that, which is something like 300 type pages. And that goes to the National Children's Alliance. They set the standards for all child advocacy centers across the nation. And we have to meet those standards. And that's one reason why the three of us are doing more than one position job, because we have to be able to provide those services. And grants aren't always available. So there's a large dependency on fundraising and donations.
Yeah, that is, it's incredible to me the fact that this is so reliant on those donations. Not that the grants don't exist and not that there isn't some funding available, but you know, you've seen it over and over. This is such a problem that is so pervasive in not just our community, but throughout the entire state and throughout the entire nation. This is a problem that is unfortunately not going away.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're doing our best to stop it one child at a time.
Yeah. If somebody does suspect, you know, something is going on with their child, what is the first step to take?
It should be reported to Childline. And then Childline then notifies through a Childline report children and youth and law enforcement in the jurisdiction where it was alleged to have happened. And then we get referrals from law enforcement and children and youth.
Yeah. It seems like such an easy thing for us to say, to just say, we'll call Childline, report it, do the things that you are supposed to do. But clearly, it's very easy to say, but there are a lot of emotions that go along with it. And it can be a struggle sometimes for people to report things. Do you see that happening?
I see that, yeah. And even for the kids that we see, many, many times it's been a while since something happened, but they weren't ready to talk about it before.
Wow. How many years? I mean, is there a time when you couldn't come forward and talk about something?
I think the statute of limitations now, I think, is 50 years.
Okay. So, yeah, it is highly likely that if something has happened, you know, you're still able to talk about it and get the justice and the resolution.
But just as an example, in 2020, mm-hmm. Jefferson County alone had over 300 child lines.
Wow. And when we say child line, does that just include sexual abuse? Is it also physical abuse?
It is sexual and physical and not emotional, but
Neglect. Yeah. So if something is wrong, that is who you go to. And I'm sure it's a difficult step to take that has a lot of emotions attached to it as, you know, a family member or a parent who this did not happen to you personally, but that's your child, that's your family member, that's your loved one. What is it like for these family members to come along and be able to be there?
Well, that comes through our family advocate providing supportive services to the families and explaining the process, helping them understand what happens that day and what can possibly happen after. And we also, after the interview, meet with that non-offending parent and discuss what's in the future. Yeah. What are the next steps?
Even in really tough situations, it's nice to have that guide map, even if sometimes you don't necessarily like the guide and the road that you are following. It's nice to know what steps there are to take.
Right.
Yeah. We've got about 5 minutes left. Is there anything that you think that people might not realize, or there might be some misconceptions, or that, you know, it's always a struggle for the general public to know about these kind of places? This is your last 5 minutes or so to really make sure that people know where to reach you and what to do and why it is worthwhile.
We have a website, and it is www.carescac.org. And if they go on the website, they can learn a lot more about our agency and how we help children.
Just the last couple of things. We only have about 3 minutes left, so we really want to make sure that people know where to go, where to find that information. And again, that website is a very helpful resource if you are looking at this later on and maybe you want that additional information, whether you yourself are dealing with this or whether you want to be that caring, compassionate person who gives a little extra. What do you think is the most common misconception or thing that people don't realize about what you do?
Well, we do have some people, because of the name, Western PA Cares for Kids, they think we're a daycare center. We're not.
No. No.
Even though we care, CARE stands for Coordinated Abuse Response and Education Services.
Right.
So want people to know that, too. We have seen, since we started in May of 2008, over 1,250 children.
Wow.
In our little community. Now, that does count Jefferson, Clarion, and Forest counties.
Mm-hmm. That is a devastating number. I can only imagine, though, what would happen if your organization was not there. The additional trauma and the additional just hardships that these kids would still have to undergo even after they've been through those problems.
Well, even if you think about going previously, they had to go to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
So they pull a little curtain around you in the emergency room, and these kids had to answer questions from the doctors and nurses, and everybody
could
hear. Now they have privacy.
Yeah.
And we have two nurses that come from the Punxsie Hospital on their scheduled days off that provide the service.
How incredible. Just once again, sincerely, thank you for what you do. We've got about 2 minutes left, so we want to remind people, yet again, we do have that event, Western PA Cares for Kids, the 12th Annual Duathlon 5K and Community Walk. That is Saturday, July 17th at Cook Forest. Now, if you are not able to make it to that event itself, I am sure this is not the only way of donating, correct?
Right. You can send donations to Western PA Cares for Kids at 3262 Route 322, Brookville, PA, 15825.
Wonderful. So even if you miss out on this event, if you're not able to be there at that event, just please realize your money and your heartfelt, generous donations and even your time can be such a wonderful thing to give. Thank you sincerely, Pat, for being here. And thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for having us.
And that's Pat Berger from Western PA Cares for Kids. It's been Contact here on Connect FM. I'm Brittany Madera, your host on Contact every Thursday morning here on Connect FM. Thank you again to Pat and the rest of the team from Western PA Cares for Kids. It's been Contact. This portion brought to us by Community County Services, family-based mental health.
Hi, folks. Are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.